Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. In the very near future, the U.S. Senate is expected to give its approval to a $1.9 trillion COVID stimulus package. That legislation includes direct payments of $1,400 to many people, additional federal unemployment benefits, new grant money for small businesses, more money for the production and distribution of vaccines, additional funds to both local and state governments, and new money to expand broadband services. Senator Patrick Leahy has encouraged his colleagues to, quote, go big with the spending provisions in this bill.
I think if we don't have decisive action now, we could spend as much as a decade trying to make up for the mistake later on.
The legislation is expected to bring almost $1 billion to various programs in the state of Vermont. Why should Congress consider such a massive bill at this time? That's one of the questions we have for our guest today, Senator Patrick Leahy. He also serves as the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, a panel that helped frame the outline for this bill. Senator Leahy, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Bob. The only regret I have is that I'm in Washington. You're in Vermont. I'd rather be there with you, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're voting all weekend long on this bill.
Senator, before we start discussing the elements of the package, I wonder if you could describe the level of security at the Capitol today. I understand that law enforcement is on high alert after receiving some threats of violence. Today, March 4th, used to be the date that a new president was sworn into office. This was changed after Franklin Roosevelt was inaugurated in 1933. There have been reports that some people are coming to the Capitol today in an effort to inaugurate former President Donald Trump. The House session for today has been canceled. Could you update us on the situation down there?
In a way, it's almost eerie. I'm standing in my office. I'm looking down the mall. I have this view down the mall. It's strangely quiet as compared to a month ago when the riots were taking place. But the security, I've never seen it so intense because I'm third in line for the presidency. I get security, which I sometimes take for granted, but not today. I was thinking of this as we went through checkpoint after checkpoint, soldiers with automatic weapons standing at these various checkpoints, barbed wire and everything else. It looks like a war zone. I've been in many war zones around the world. I never thought I'd think of the U.S. Capitol as being one. It's very, very sobering. And we've been having a number of hearings going over what went right and all the things went wrong in the riots and the attempt to take over the Capitol last month. And everybody's learning from it, but it is still a learning process. And I'm hoping that the threats we've heard for today and tomorrow and the next day is just talk and boasting. But in all my years in the Capitol, I've never seen it like this. I told somebody, I remember driving down from our home in Montpelier with my parents when I was a teenager, and we just walked through the Capitol and just walked any door you want, and go sightsee around and so on. And now it's like a ghost town.
Senator, do you expect that this heightened level of security is going to be with us for a number of months, if not years?
I think some of it will be with us. I'd like to see us get back open safely as soon as we can. We're having a number of meetings in the Appropriations Committee on what we can do to improve security without making it look like we're in a war zone. I want school kids to come back. I want tourists to come back. I want people to come in and see the seat of their government. I want foreign students to come in and see who we are. I think we have to do that. I think the country suffers if we don't do it. Right now we're trying to figure out what's the balance. But having these fences topped with barbed wire surrounding the Capitol at a cost of millions of dollars a week, there's got to be some change in that. But we cannot have another route like we had last month. I mean, the rest of the world looked at the United States and said, what has happened to you? Have you just become a dictatorship or a third world country? What's going on?
Let's take a look at this stimulus bill that you mentioned. The Senate will probably be voting on hundreds of amendments over the next 72 hours. The bill appropriates a lot of money, $1.9 trillion. Some of your Republican colleagues question the need for such a big expenditure at this time. They say there are still some unused funds from the previous stimulus package lying around and that this bill is a wasteful piece of legislation. How do you respond to that criticism?
I would tell them to look at what economists from the right to the left are saying, that we need this. We have to get the country back together. I said last year that in 15 weeks, we saw a 15-year change in the way we do business, commerce, education, everything else in this country. A lot of that change has not been good. We have got to bring the country back. I think the majority of Americans, Republicans and Democrats, believe this bill is needed. You're not going to cure a horrible problem by going small. You have to go big, and we have to get people back to schools, back to work. Protected with vaccine, at least President Biden has taken the COVID situation seriously, and we're ramping up quickly to get the vaccine out. But it's not going to be total success until everybody has been vaccinated and the kids can go back to school and people who are out of work can go back to work. We're going to suffer for a long, long time if we suddenly have a whole lot of people thrown out of their homes, unable to feed their kids, unable to handle the health care they need, and the cost down the road would be far, far more than doing it right now. And, we've had... I just look at the polls around the country. This is actually one of the most bipartisan support I've seen in something like this. I can't remember a time when we've had a major piece of legislation before the Congress that we've seen such large numbers of people, Republicans and Democrats alike, across the country supporting it.
How do you explain, then, if there's so much Republican support around the country for it, that no Republicans in the U.S. Senate, it looks like, are going to support this bill?
I think that's a mistake on their part. I think they will regret it. You know, we've had 17 of these reconciliation bills since 1980. At least 17 of those were passed in a bipartisan way. I think the American people want to see the partisanship stop. I know President Biden has reached out. I think that the comments that former President Mr. Trump made at a gathering a weekend ago do not help the country. And I think what we have to do is come back and work. I wish those who are opposed to it would go in their own towns and talk to people who are wondering, when are our children going back to school? Talk to somebody who you know, last year when President Trump was saying, well, COVID will go away in the spring, or you can take some kind of a swallow something and you'll be better. Talk to the people who then wish they could have at least been at the hospital bed of their parents or their children as they died from COVID because we didn't react fast enough. We've got to react fast now, or our country, it'll be a decade or more before our country comes back together.
Senator, there were two other issues I wanted to discuss with you today, and I know we have a limited time with you. But the first one is the bill allocates $350 billion to state and local governments. Vermont's expected to receive almost $900 million from this part of the bill. At the same time, one of the key factors in the distribution of this money is a state's unemployment rate. And compared to many states in the country, Vermont's unemployment rate is quite low. I believe it's under 4%. Does this put Vermont at a disadvantage for the distribution of this money?
No. Actually, Senator Sanders and I are working on the way this will be distributed. We're trying to make sure, of course, that we have our fair share, but we've also got unique problems in a rural area. Just delivering the vaccine. Children are going to school remotely. Look at the lack of good internet service. I mean, my home in Middlesex, we pay supposedly for premium internet, but it's totally unreliable. And here we are just 5 or 6 miles from the state's capital. We've got these are a lot of things we've got to improve. Otherwise, we're not going to bring businesses back. We're not going to have our schools working. No, there are a lot of things that the unemployment rate is, I'm not sure it totally accurately points out where we are. And also, we've got to be able to open up enough so that the good jobs come back, the jobs that pay more than a minimum wage.
You mentioned Senator Sanders. He's been fighting to include a $15 minimum wage in the bill, but the Senate parliamentarian ruled that this part of the package would not be considered as part of the overall bill because of the budget reconciliation process. I understand that Senator Sanders is still pursuing this issue on several fronts. First, he's going to ask the full Senate to overturn this parliamentary decision. Will you support that?
Well, the parliamentarian is right on her ruling. I think everybody agrees. You know, she has been very, very nonpartisan. I worked strongly with her when I had that unique assignment to preside over the trial of the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump. I knew that we'd never had a situation like that before, so we spent weeks together going over all the past precedents, looked at what Chief Justice Roberts had done, and everything else. All the way through, she was totally nonpartisan, totally professional, and her ruling under the rules is a correct one. Now, we can vote to say we want to put in the $15 minimum wage in spite of the ruling, and that's been done in the past, and I think an attempt will be made to do that. I suspect it will not pass, but I support Senator Sanders on the $15. If we don't have it here, then we're just going to have to find something else. And, you know, keep in mind, this is $15 phased in over a number of years. And just the fact that we've talked about it, some companies are starting to raise their minimum wage knowing it's coming. Companies are paying a lot less than this. You and I, as taxpayers, are subsidizing them because the people who are working there have to have either food stamps or other assistance, because even though they're working 40 hours a week, they're not making enough to live today.
So just to be clear, will you be supporting the effort to overturn the parliamentarian's decision?
It's not overturning the decision. It would be a separate thing. Basically, it says, okay, it's not in this word. It's basically we agree with the parliamentarian, and so now we want an exception, and that's what we want to vote for. We know the parliamentarian is right in her decision. There is a provision where you can say, in spite of that, we'll for this instance, make an exception. And we've done that in the past in some of these cases. With the opposition of many on the other side, I don't think that we'll succeed to be able to get an alternative. But I've encouraged Senator Sanders, keep working on it. I will support you in every effort you can to get the $15.
Senator Leahy, it sounds like you're going to have a couple of very long days and nights down in the Capitol as the Senate considers hundreds of amendments to this COVID stimulus bill. Many thanks for taking the time to talk to us today about it.
Well, I'm glad to, and I really appreciate your newscast. I know my sister Mary is always saying, calling me and saying, Patrick, did you hear what was on Vermont Public Radio today? And if I didn't, she makes darn sure I go online and find what you said.
Well, we appreciate that. Thanks again for being on the program.
Take care.